turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to get there in a few minutes, not initially, but you can go ahead and get there, Hebrews chapter number 6. And guess what I'm speaking on this morning, as if you don't know already? The faithfulness of God. We sang about it in all the choruses this morning. And I want to share that with you. We talked a few weeks ago on the favor of the Lord, and now this morning we're going to be talking about the faithfulness of the Lord in our lives. Deuteronomy 7:9, Moses writes this, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God." I love that phrase. Know therefore that the Lord your God, my God, is God. He is God. There is no other. There's no God above him. There's no God below him. Our God, my God and your God, is God alone. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. We talked just a couple of weeks ago about obedience, a follow-up to the favor of the Lord, and we talked about how we need to be obedient to him. Moses echoes that. He said he keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him, but also those that keep his commands. And then in Deuteronomy 32:4, Moses adds this. He says, "He, God, is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just." Now, we may not feel like we get justice a lot of times. We may not think God's ways or his timing are perfect all the time. You know, we may want a particular answer, and God may have a different plan. We may want an answer at a particular time, and God has a different time, and he makes us wait, all those things. But Moses says his works really are perfect, and all his ways are just. And then he follows it with this, "He is a faithful God who does no wrong." That's why you and I as Christians can release every circumstance that comes our way in our lives, whether we like them or not. We can release them into the hands of God because he is a faithful God and he does no wrong. In fact, God cannot be unfaithful and God cannot do wrong. It's just impossible. You know, there's a lot of things that we say, oh, God can do all things. Well, no, there's some things God can't do. God can't lie. God will not ever alter his word. God will never fall short on something that he's promised. He'll be faithful to his word to perform it, the Bible tells us. He's a faithful God. He can't do wrong, and he can't do anything that would be unjust, not right. And so, upright and just is he. Psalms 33:4 tells us, God is faithful in all he does. God is faithful in all he does. In every area of our lives, in every situation, we can know and trust that God is going to be faithful to us. Then Psalm 36:5 says this, "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." A lot of times the different gentlemen that wrote the book of Psalms, we know David wrote half of the book of Psalms, 75, but there were other people that wrote a few as well. And I love the way they phrase things sometimes. They use different alliterations here. "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens." Just trying to emphasize to us how vast God's love is. And then, "Your faithfulness reaches to the skies." That's how far, how immense God's faithfulness is to us in our daily lives. And then in Psalm 91, verse 4, we're told this, "His faithfulness," the faithfulness of our God, "will be our shield and our rampart." Now, a rampart is one who defends, one who protects. I love that. That we have a street in New Orleans named Rampart Street. And it's something that defends, something that protects. His faithfulness is going to do that. The faithfulness of our God is a shield around about us, the word says. It's a shield to us and a rampart, a defense, a protector of everything that pertains to us. God is there with us, for us, and in us. Psalm 117, verse 2, encourages us that the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. I love that because it lets me know that his faithfulness is never going to end. It's never going to stop. Just like his love is unfailing, his love is forever. Nothing that we do could ever make him stop loving us. Now, he may not approve of the action, you know, but he'll never stop loving us no matter what. Just like you as a parent or a grandparent, you won't ever stop loving your kids or grandkids. No matter what they may do or be or become, good, bad, or ugly, you're still going to love them. You may not approve of what they're doing or have done, but you're still going to love them. It's just what a parent does. And God is the ultimate parent, and so his faithfulness towards us is going to last forever. Nothing we do will alter his faithfulness. In fact, he says, even though we would be unfaithful to him, he says, I will still be faithful to you. I won't turn my back against you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to get to go to heaven no matter what we do. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm never going to stop loving you, and my faithfulness is going to be extended to you, but you have to respond to that. And the word says that we love him because he first loved us. Amen? And we're faithful to him. And he says, to the faithful, I'll show myself to be faithful. Amen? So that's our part. Then Psalms 145, verse 13, we find this. The Lord is faithful, and I love this. The Lord is faithful to all of his promises. There are a gazillion promises in this book. All kinds of promises, Old Testament to New Testament. And he says, I'm going to be faithful to all of those promises. If God has given you a word and you just get a witness of the Spirit that, man, God's really speaking that to me from Scripture. Because we can't just yank stuff out of context. You know, we can't just yank something here and there to tickle our ears or to tickle our fancy or what we think we want. You can't just do that. I feel like that when you stand on a promise, you need to have been in prayer and the Holy Spirit spoke that to your heart, that you stand on this in this particular situation in your life because this scripture speaks to your need right here, right now. You know what I'm saying? And so we apply it in the context in our lives and in the context of scripture that we see it. And we apply it as the Holy Spirit impresses us. So the Lord is faithful to all those promises that he's written to us in our Bible. And Hebrews 10:23 echoes that thought. It says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope. I love that word hope. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Why? For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. Years ago, David Wilkerson wrote an entire devotional with that title, God is Faithful. And many times when I quote something from David Wilkerson, it's from that devotional that he wrote many years ago. And so it's a really good one if you ever want to get that and use it one year as your daily devotional. But he says, let's hold unswervingly to that hope that we profess, because the Father who loves us, our God, the one who promised all these things in his word, he's faithful. I ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 6. We finally get there here this morning. I want us to pick up at verse number 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10. It says this, God is not unjust. We just read earlier from Deuteronomy that our God is a just God. And so the writer of Hebrews would let us know that our God is not unjust. He is a just God. He will not forget your work and my work and the love that you and I have shown him. How? As we've helped his people. The Bible says, by this all men will know that you and I are disciples of the Lord by the love that we show one another. By the care and the concern that we exhibit one another. It will show the world around us that we really are Christians. And so he says here that our God is not going to forget our work for him and also the love that we've shown God as we've helped his people. I love that. God says, when you help my kids, you're blessing me. I love that. So as we help each other, we've shown God that we love him. I love that. Verse 11, we want each of you to show the same diligence, those things that he just talked about, to the very end in order to make your hope sure. There's that hope word again. He says, God is not unjust. He's not going to forget all the stuff that you're doing for him and the love you've shown him as you've also helped his people and the way you continue to help them. Don't ever stop doing that for one another. And he says, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Let's not ever quit. Let's not ever give up. Let's don't faint. Let's don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, we're going to reap a harvest. So do this. Be diligent to the very end. Why? In order to make your hope sure. In order to make your hope sure. Do this. And then he goes on. We do not want you to become lazy. There's one of the churches in Revelation, they became very lazy. They left their first love. They stopped doing the works that they had once done, and they began to weaken as a body there. And so he says, we don't want you to become lazy or complacent, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Man, that's so good. He wants us to imitate those that we see in Scripture and even those that we see around us, faithful Christians that are serving God with their whole heart. He says, we want you to imitate people like that who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised to them. And let's go on. Verse 13, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself saying, I will surely, underline that word surely, I love that, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. When this promise was made, Abraham had no children, nobody. But God reiterated his promise to Abraham on numerous occasions. And so after waiting patiently, verse 15 tells us, Abraham received what was promised. I don't know what you may be believing God for this morning in your life. I don't know what may be going on in your life. But I want you to be patient. Excuse me. And I want you to be able to receive what has been promised to you. Don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on your kids. Excuse me, just a moment. I rarely have to use this, but this morning I do. Just a little tickle in my throat there. No COVID, just a tickle. So I want to get back to that verse. He said, I'm going to surely bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to give you many descendants. And so after years of waiting, 25 years for that son. 25 years for that first son. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Now he had a son by a way that he and his wife had come up with a plan, you know, through a concubine to have a son. And he had that son, you know, but that was not the son of the promise. Paul talks about that in another place. He said, the son of the slave woman has no place, you know, with the son of the promise. And we know that Isaac was the son of the promise. And so Abraham, after waiting patiently, he received what God promised him. And now we look even today at the modern-day nation of Israel. Those are all descendants of Father Abraham. Amen? The old VBS song from years ago, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Amen. We're descendants, all of us. We've been, even those of us that are not Jewish, because we've received Christ, Paul says we've been grafted into that family of God. And now we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're a part of the covenants and all the different promises that God has given to his chosen people. We're also now part of the chosen people. We've been grafted in, adopted into his family. Then let's go to Revelation chapter 21. We touched on this earlier this morning. But Revelation 21, John writes this. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." That's interesting to me because two-thirds of this planet is ocean. It's water, two-thirds of the planet. But in the future, there's no longer any ocean, no longer any sea. "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. That city prepared like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men.'" Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the initial introduction of God to this planet in the flesh. But one day, the dwelling of God is going to be with us. And he will live with them, John says. They, you and I, will be his people. And God himself, underline that word himself, God himself will be with them and will be their God. That is something that we're looking forward to. And God's going to be faithful to honor that promise to us. Daily Wisdom for Men adds this in regards to what we just read from Scripture. God desires to dwell among his people, but sometimes he needs to offer reminders of what he has done in the past, letting his people know that our freedom comes from God's work in our lives. Man, I like that. God wants to dwell among us, but he knows he needs to offer reminders to us because he knows how forgetful we are. Think about the children of Israel, how quickly they forgot the miracles that got them out of Egyptian bondage. And then they get to a place in the desert where they don't have any food, they don't have any water, and they make calves and they say, "Okay, we're going to go back. We're going to go back to Egypt. We had a lot of water there. We had leeks and onions and we had all this stuff, you know." But they forgot quickly that they were slaves there and they were under cruel bondage there. But now they're wanting to go back to Egypt. I trust that none of us in this room want to go back to our Egypt, that we don't want to go back to some lifestyle of sin, some lifestyle that would not be pleasing to God. So God offers reminders of what he's done for us in our past, letting us know that our freedom comes from his work in our lives. And what is that? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus has set us free from sin and death. That yoke has been broken. Our fear of death has been removed because of Christ's resurrection. And he said, "Because I live, you are going to live also." So a question this morning, what has God done in your life to help you live in freedom? Well, if you're a Christian, the simple answer is Jesus. He sent Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever believes in him is not going to perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the good news of salvation through Christ. And so he's helped us to live in freedom because, again, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Another question, are there ways that you've seen God's provision for you? And I'm sure if you've served the Lord long enough, even a small amount of time, you've seen God's provision in your life. Spiritually, for sure, because of Christ, but also materially in the things that you and I possess, the things that we are stewards of, that God has blessed us with. Whether it's our homes or whether it's our cars or whether it's our kids or whether it's our grandkids or whether it's what we have in the bank or our retirement or whatever it is, all of the provision that God has blessed us with, we need to count those blessings, the old song says. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done in our lives. Amen? We need to do that from time to time. And he goes on and says, these are the moments that God wants you to remember, keeping them before your mind as you face new challenges. Why do we have hope for the future? Because God has been so faithful in the past. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was faithful in the past and he's faithful right now in the present, guess what he's going to be in the future? He's going to be faithful. Amen? He's got a track record of faithfulness in our lives and in our minds. That's why he says, remember the past. Remember what you presently have. And remember that I'm going to be faithful to you no matter what you face in the future, no matter what's going on in your life, the lives of your family and friends, the lives of your co-workers or neighbors, the life of your city or your state or your country, or the life of the planet. Doesn't matter what's happening. God is and will be faithful to you and me forever and ever and ever. That will never change. He's not going to stop being faithful because there's a pandemic going on. He's not going to stop because there's wars and rumors of wars. God's not going to stop his faithfulness. He said, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. He'll never leave us. He's going to be there forever. Here's a great promise from 1 Corinthians. Let me flip there quickly. And I'm not sure what you have on the screen and what you don't, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if these scriptures don't pop up, just write them down and look them up this afternoon at your convenience. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. Remember, we're talking about the faithfulness of the Lord. And it says this, He, God, will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless. Underline that word blameless. That's going to come up again in just a second. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day that Jesus comes back, he says you're going to be found blameless. When you and I stand before God one day and he separates the sheep from the goats, the sheep go to his right hand, the goats to his left, and we stand there before God to give an account of the deeds done in our body, he says on that day, because of Jesus and your faith in him, you're going to be found blameless. Verse 9, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, God is faithful. God is faithful. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a verse that we could probably all quote. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And we're going to go to verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and it says this, No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is what? Faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. This is an awesome verse. No temptation has come our way, seized us, except what's common to man. Sometimes we feel like we're the Lone Ranger when we go through difficulties and problems in life. And so, but he says, it's just common. What's happening to us, it's happened to others and is happening to others around the world today. Peter tells us that as well in 1 Peter. But he says, but God's going to be faithful to you. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you're capable of bearing. God knows, God knows. But when you are tempted, so that lets us know that not if we're going to be tempted or you might be tempted, but no, he says when you are tempted, because you're going to be tempted and so will I. When we are tempted, God's also going to provide a way of escape, a way out so that we can stand up under it, so we can bear it, so we can overcome it and get through it. God will be faithful to that promise in my life and in your life as well. He is faithful to his word. Let's go a little bit further to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to go to chapter number 5. And let's pick up at verse number 23, almost the end of that chapter. And it says this, May God himself, there's that word himself again. God himself is going to dwell with us, John said in Revelation. And now Paul writes, May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, from the inside out, from head to toe. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept, what? Blameless. I love that. Blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at this, the one who calls you, and God has a calling on all of our lives. The one who calls you is faithful, and he, God, is going to do it. The Bible says that one day when we stand before the Lord, that Jesus, because of him, we're going to stand before him faultless, without fault, in his presence. That's an awesome verse as well. So body, soul, and spirit will be kept blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. And the one who has called us is going to be faithful to do it. The Bible says we know that all things work together for good for those of us that love God, that are called according to his purpose. Amen? And so there's a calling on each of our lives. And there's a purpose and a plan for each one of our lives. It's up to us to find out, okay, Lord, what is it you're wanting of me? What is it you want of me today? What do you want me to do today? Lead me to someone that I can be a blessing to today. And then I want to close with this from the book of Lamentations. We sang about it earlier today as well. But Lamentations chapter number 3, and I've used this so many times over the years, but it's such a powerful set of verses here. Lamentations 3, and we're going to begin with verse 21. The whole chapter is great, but verse 21. And he writes this, Jeremiah is writing this in a very difficult time for his nation, just such a time as we're in right now, when things are just not going well for the nation, all kinds of depravity, people forsaking God, moral failures, all kinds of garbage going on in the nation of Israel at this time. And yet, after you get through all that, he says, yet this I call to mind. Remember, let this be at the forefront of your thinking. He says, this I call to mind, and because of this, I have hope. There's that word again. There's that word. I remember, and so because of my remembering God and what he's done in the past, I have hope for the future. Because of the Lord's great love, that's why we're not consumed. Because God loves us so much, and he loves our nation and its people so much, and the nations of the world and the peoples of the world. Because of the Lord's great love, that's why we're not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Man, I love that. The compassion of the Lord never fails. The Bible says Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he looked out on the crowds that followed him so many times, and it says he was filled with compassion for the people that followed him. Our God is a compassionate God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I'm another place in Scripture, Hebrews says that Jesus is the exact duplicate, the exact representation of the Father in heaven. And so his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, another translation says it's his mercies that never fail. Well, same thing pretty much. Compassion, mercy, it's having empathy for others. Those things never fail. They're new every morning. And he proclaims, great is your faithfulness. And then he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Can you say that this morning? Is the Lord your portion? Is he the one that, man, you couldn't live without Jesus? You know, you couldn't live without Jesus. Is he your portion? Is he the one that you look to? Is he your provider? Is he Jehovah Jireh to you? Is he your healer? Is he your savior? Is he your deliverer? Is he your soon coming king? The Lord, he said, is my portion, and therefore I'm going to wait for him. You and I right now as Christians, we're waiting for him. We're waiting for him to come back and catch us away. Amen? That's what we're waiting for. That's our future as Christians. We have a home that Jesus has prepared for us in heaven. Because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be also. Amen? That's the hope that we have as Christians, the blessed hope, the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is my portion, and I'm going to wait for him. And by the grace of God, I'm going to faithfully and patiently wait for him and for the promises that he's given me in my life. And I encourage you to do the same. Then he says, the Lord is good to those whose hope, here's that word again, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. Your faith and your hope are really dependent on who or what your faith and your hope are in. Now think about that a minute. You know, if I go up north and there's a pond or a lake that looks like it's covered in ice, and by faith I say, well, you know, I don't know how deep it is, how deep or how thick that ice is, but I'm going to step out on it in faith. Well, you better check that before you do that, because you may crash through that thin layer of ice if that's what it is. You better know who your hope and your faith is in. You better check that out first, and that's what he's saying here. He says, the Lord is good to those whose hope, whose faith is in him. To the one who seeks him. He said, if you seek me, you're going to find me. But you'll only find me if you seek me with all of your heart, with all that's in you, with all of your mind, body, soul, mind, and spirit. He said, if you love me like that, and if you seek me like that, he says, I guarantee you, you're going to find me. I'm not going to hide from you. Then he says, it's good to wait quietly. Be still and know that I am God. Wait quietly. What? For the salvation of the Lord. Wait quietly. He said, you may not like what's happening in the world around you today. You might not like what's happening in your nation or your city or even in your house. You may not like some things in this life. But if you just be still, know that I am God, wait quietly with me, for me, he said, then you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Peter said that that's the thing that we're waiting for. One day, the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul.